Good morning. Welcome to all of you. We are delighted to see you. Grateful that you chose this morning to come and worship with this community at First Baptist Church, of which many of you, though not all of you probably, are a part. Today you are. We're glad you're here. As always, an insert in your worship bulletin. I'd like to point out, you can look through and see there's a concert this week during Thursday daytime, which is a wonderful thing, an outreach to the community and to us. There are classes listed that are being held today for people of all ages following this service. I want to highlight three things. First, today we are taking an offering at the conclusion of the service, which is a world mission offering through American Baptist Churches USA International Ministries. This funding, and you'll see a brochure about it, is dedicated this year especially to addressing issues of human trafficking and slavery across the world. Secondly, 2 weeks from today is the Hunger March, the Hunger Walk, the Crop Walk, it is also called. 2 weeks from today, there is also an insert in your bulletin about it. You can walk. You can pledge money for a walker if you don't feel like walking. You may check the connection card in your bulletin that you're interested in doing that. There's also a table downstairs where you can sign up. There's also an online site that you may want to see so that you can be involved in any number of ways. This addresses hunger in our county and worldwide. Finally, this is World Communion Sunday. Christians all over the world are taking special note of one another as we all come to the Lord's table together. Today, we are going to observe Holy Communion in a different way. Our tradition is the elements, the bread and the cup are passed to us where we sit. Today, we are going to come forward to receive communion as so many across the world do. We've done this before, but it's been a while. Don't be nervous. Read your instructions. We will do what is ours to do. And most of all, we'll make sure that all of us who wish to participate are able to participate. And as the instructions say, if you do not wish to participate in communion, you are free and unjudged to remain where you are and not to do so. And others of you who don't feel mobile enough can stay where you are, and you will be served where you are. It is good to be here. In a sense, we chose to come. In a sense, we were chosen. Let us give thanks for the freedom and for the privilege of having been brought into this family of God today. With all our grateful hearts, may we worship and may we be expectant of new gifts to God from God for our living. Please stand if you are able. Almighty God, we come to your table this day in pursuit of your divine wisdom and guidance. Fill us with your knowledge and understanding. Guide us in our walk with you, and help us to love you and all of our neighbors today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. In the sight of his ancestors, God works marvels in the land of Egypt.
God divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made waters stand by the
In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all night long with a fiery light.
God stood across the way in the wilderness, and he made them drink from the wilderness.
God made streams come out of the rock, and caused waters to flow down like rivers.
Our God is faithful. Praise the Lord.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles about the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray together, please. O God, you know us more truly than we know ourselves. So help us, please, to lay aside every presence that would interrupt our knowing that you are present. so that in your light we can see the dignity for which you made us, and the scarring also that is on us, and the beauty that your love pours upon us. Lord God, help us to embrace it. Let all our fears give way to faith. Among our countless blessings is this church, and we pray for its ongoing life. Grant us, please, ongoing, fresh life, outpouring from your Spirit, for the sake of this church family and for the sake of many, many others through this congregation's witness. May we be an ever more joyous people, and more compassionate, and more in the likeness of Jesus. On this day of World Communion, we pray for sisters and brothers all over your world who lift their prayers with ours. People of every color of skin and multiplied languages and differing ways of worship. And yet in you we are one, all one. May we love you and serve you in such a way that it will be known to be so. God, we offer our prayers today for the people of Puerto Rico. May the help they desperately need be received quickly. May lives be saved. May your people in that place in time be not only restored, but made new. In particular, we pray for the Rosario, Madera, Irisari, Arroyo, Colazzo families, the thousands of others who are uncertain, for the Puerto Ricans who live elsewhere who also are hurting. We pray for Kay, Zaki, Gloria, for Vanessa, Claudio, David, Valeria Nebbi, the Jones family, for Kim and Jason Weaver, for Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Peter Mortensen, Anthony Burton, Wally Jordan, Dottie Kassler, Jody Wilt, Robert L., and Will Healy. Before you now, we lift our silent prayers. Holy God, now in this hour of worship, may we offer you again our lives as you have offered everything to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And now we invite the children to come forward as we sing.
What this is.
A globe.
It's a globe. Yeah. Today we're thinking about the whole world. Pastor Paul prayed about it. I think Pastor Stacy's going to probably preach about it. The whole world. I want to give you something. Could you please take one child, a picture of a child from this basket, and then pass it around? Take one and pass. Good. Young Hyun, can you just take it in your hands? Yeah, go ahead. There you go, Scotty. Good. We're going to read a story today to be thinking about everybody in the world and that God is everywhere in the world and that we experience God's love and express our love to God in all places and in different ways. So I'm going to ask that you do something with those people you have in your hands, those kids. So here they come around. When you hear this, would you do this with me? Whoever they are, can you lift your kid up if you have one? Good. Whoever they are, wherever they are, then point it to the globe. God is with us all over the world. Can you do that? So we're going to lift it up first, that person, that kid from somewhere in the world, and then we're going to point it to the globe and think about God all over the world. Perfect. Okay, let's hear these words. It's a bit of a song, a prayer. Little one, whoever you are, put it up, wherever you are, there are little ones just like you all over the world. Can you put it to the world? I should show you the pictures too. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Their skin may be different from yours, and their homes may be different from yours. I like that you're thinking about it. Their schools may be different from yours, and their lands may be different from yours. Their lives may be different from yours, and their words may be different than yours. But inside their hearts are just like yours. Okay, let's do it. Can you lift them up again? Whoever they are, wherever they are, all over the world, God is there. Yeah. Their smiles are like yours. Look, look at their smiles. And they laugh just like you. Their hurts are like yours, and they cry like you too. Lift them up. Whoever they are, wherever they are, all over the world. Good. Little one, when you are older and when you are grown, you may be different. And they may be different wherever you are, wherever they are, in this big, wide world. But remember this. Joys are the same, and love is the same. Pain is the same, and blood is the same. Smiles are the same, and hearts are just the same. Can you lift them up again? Lift them up as high as you can. Wherever they are, wherever you are, wherever we are, point to the globe, all over the world, God is there. We experience God's love, and we show our love back to God. All around the world. Can you say amen with me? Amen. All right, we're going to use our walking feet to head to Sunday school together.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, our hunger is so deep. We cannot always name what it is we yearn for, but in these moments, help us to know that it is you we seek, and that it is you who, in your abundance, will provide. Sustain us, O Lord. Amen. There's something about sharing a meal with other people that feeds more than just our bodies. I can remember meals in my life that were as nourishing to my soul as they were to my belly. Can't you? Gravy and biscuits with my extended family at my grandmother's table on Christmas Eve morning every year. We got to experience this amazing combination of utter fulfillment and absolute anticipation at the same time. Because we were full, because the food was so plentiful and so good, but we were also just revved up with excitement and anticipation of what was coming next, which was the exchange of presents, but first, our choice of dessert. Even though it was breakfast and we had just had gravy and biscuits, we got to pick Grandma's homemade banana pudding or Grandma's homemade Lane cake, or we could even have a little of both. I never doubted my grandmother's love because she baked it right in all those goodies. And I never doubted my place in the fabric of my family because the stories and the laughter and the sharing of the food stitched us together. Don't you have memories around tables with other people that shaped who you are, that fed your soul? Maybe it wasn't the family of your childhood, but family you made with friends. Can you remember evenings at tables with friends where you sat there long after the plates had been cleared? Because the conversation was just so good, and the companionship was just so good, and the connection you felt just seemed to light up the table even as the outside got darker and darker. Or can you remember meals where someone listened when you most needed to be heard? Or someone said what you most needed to hear? Or someone just sat with you in silence because you just needed a friend? Some of the most powerful moments in my life have happened at a table shared with others. How about you? Of course, some of the most painful memories in my life have happened at mealtime too. How about you? That day in middle school, when you walked over to the table in the cafeteria where you usually sat with friends, only they had given your seat to someone else. Or that dinner with your family that was ruined because your uncle decided to bring up politics. Or that time when you ended up alone in a room full of people who were eating and drinking and having fun, and you weren't sure which part was worse, feeling left out or feeling embarrassed because they could see that you were left out. The dinner table is a place where connections are made and community is created. Anthropologist Gillian Crowther notes that sharing a meal with someone is one of the most important manifestations of social connection in all cultures throughout all times. Eating together creates and strengthens a sense of belonging, which is why some of the most painful experiences of exclusion and alienation we know also happen around the issue of eating. Who is invited? Is there room enough at the table for everyone who wants to be there? Who sits where? Who serves whom? What is proper table etiquette, and what do people think of those who breach it? What do people talk about, and what subjects do they avoid? Questions like these make it clear that what happens at the table and who is there when it happens communicates acceptance or rejection, respect or contempt. Sometimes, when rejection and contempt happen for far too long, the table can even become a place of revolution. That's what happened in 1960 when four black students in North Carolina walked into a Woolworth Five and Dime and sat down at the whites-only lunch counter. Years later, one of those four men, Franklin McCain, spoke about how exhilarating it was to launch that lunch counter protest. He said, "I had a feeling of liberation, restored manhood. I had a natural high, and I truly felt almost invincible. It's a feeling that I don't think I'll ever be able to have again. It's the kind of thing that people pray for and wish for all their lives and never experience it." The next day, those four men came back with 15 more students. On the third day, 60 more joined in, and on the fourth day, more than 300 people showed up. And within a week, sit-ins were happening at lunch counters all over the country. They became a highly successful aspect of the civil rights movement, and in many towns, they were what succeeded in forcing the desegregation of lunch counters and other public places. Sometimes, when people sit down at a table together, they end up changing the world. On the last night of his life, Jesus shared a meal with his friends. He knew that they were going to let him down, but even so, he ate with them, open-hearted, sharing wine, breaking bread. And he said to them, "Whenever you do this, remember me." And his first followers took him very seriously. The book of Acts tells us that they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, to fellowship with each other, to sharing meals with each other, to prayer, and to taking care of the poor. They were transformed from a collection of individuals into a community of kin, the church. They gathered as equals, which, as New Testament scholar Scott McKnight notes, was scandalous. Social boundaries were exceptionally important in first century Israel, almost sacred. And meals were how those boundaries were displayed. To eat with each other, in each other's homes, with no regard for race, gender, status, wealth, was radically offensive to the cultural sensibilities of the people around them. Jesus, of course, famously broke social boundaries. "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking," he told the Pharisees, "and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" The meals that Jesus shared with others demonstrated a new social order, one where the usual social categories had no power. The things people thought of as sacred were shown to be mere trappings, actual obstacles to the truly sacred power of authentic human community. And it shook the religious establishment. Some people say this is even the reason he was killed. He would not stop eating with the wrong people. On the last night of his life, he told his friends around the table, "Whenever you do this, remember me." And they took him seriously. They shared their meals in each other's homes. They shared their food with those in need. They remembered him in how they ate and in how they lived and in who they ate with. Their eating was not just a symbolic worship ceremony. It was their life. It was their new life. They knew the boundary-breaking, revolutionary power of a shared meal. They knew that the table could be a place of healing and a place of forgiveness and a place of liberation, a place to be heard and to be taught, to be fed and to be filled, to be restored and to be made family. The first Christians began their life together around a table, a physical reminder of a spiritual truth, that connection to other people feeds us and nurtures us and sustains us, and that is God feeding us and nurturing us and sustaining us. We need the community as much as we need the food. And the world needs it too. The world needs people like us, willing to live the scandalous truth of equality, of liberation, of absolute acceptance, of total belonging. That first day that Franklin McCain sat at the Woolworth lunch counter in 1960, an older white woman sat a few stools down from him. McCain later said, "If you think Greensboro, North Carolina, 1960, a little old white lady who eyes you with that suspicious look, she's not having very good thoughts about you, nor what you're doing." When the woman finished her donut and coffee, she walked behind McCain and his friend Joseph McNeil, and she stood there behind them, and she put her hands on their shoulders, and she said, "Boys, I am so proud of you. I only regret that you didn't do this 10 years ago. The time is now for you and me to live the truth that Jesus lived. He came eating and drinking, offending seemingly sacred social norms, disrespecting seemingly sacred traditions of class and caste. At his table, we practice the scandalous truth of absolute affirmation, acceptance, equality, and belonging. And then we go out into the world to live that truth, knowing that it will undoubtedly offend and anger some people, just as it did in Jesus' day. Sometimes, when people sit down at a table together, they can change the world. What happens at this table cannot stay at this table. We have to take it out there. It's time. One of our ways of connecting with each other is to fill out the connection card in your bulletin. You can put that in the offering plate when it comes by. In response to God's gracious, self-giving, and sustaining love and grace, we make our offerings now with glad and generous hearts. Through all times and all places, in every language, across all theologies, churches have understood this to be one of the holiest things we do. We eat together. And we receive Christ's meal not just with each other in this room, but on this World Communion Sunday, we recognize that we receive it in particular solidarity with others. Especially today, we think of God's children in Puerto Rico, in South Korea, in North Korea. We're mindful of God's children in Kenya, in Romania, in Nicaragua, in thousands
in hundreds of thousands of sanctuaries and homes around this world. Imagine other faces in this room. Imagine other bodies around this table. We eat together, all of us joined in the oneness of Christ's globe-spanning body. Now Christ invites everyone to this table, so we make ourselves ready, confessing our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. We stand. As forgiven and reconciled children of God, let us offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace. Now we pray together in the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God formed us in his image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. In love, God gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same manner, after the meal, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his friends and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Roberta. body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Go ahead. Amen.
your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. You will recall that the offering plates at the door today for the World Mission Offering. Let us give faithfully as well. Would you stand please for our handing over to a fellowship? Go from this place to love the Lord.